Hi, welcome to a new episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are going to be talking about the Elton John biopic Rocket Man. We did a little mini episode last week with my parents, which from the looks of it, a lot of people have downloaded. It is way more popular of an episode than it really should have been, but people love my parents, so hey, it is what it is. But now we're back with a regular episode where we're going to get into the puzzle pieces and do that whole thing that we do on this show. Joining me for this one is a new co-host. We've got Jason Baroni, a friend of mine from online, who is a member of our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group, which is a group that you should join if you enjoy talking about movies. Come in there. We like to talk about all kinds of movies. We'll be talking about Rocket Man. We'll be talking about everything. All the movies that are coming out this year, classics, lots of memes, all that kind of stuff. It's a great movie group. Lots of cool people. No trolls. Join Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. So, with that said, we're going to get into today's episode on Rocket Man, and I want to remind you, as always, that if you're not, you can subscribe to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. And I also want to let you know that today's episode is sponsored by our friends over at the Golden Tiki. The Golden Tiki was recently named one of the top tiki bars in the United States by the Food Network. It's also one of the 10 best nightlife destinations in Las Vegas, rated by USA Today. It's also one of the only places I go when I actually go out at night, and it's just a really cool place. Lots of great special drinks. They've got theme nights, DJs. The Swank Bastards are there, which are an awesome band, and then they've got like all kinds of stuff happening there. What do they got? Well, you know, the thing that their newest thing is Alan Budd's Oasis, which is these two robotic parrots that are powered by microcomputers and nanorobotics and 3D printing, hand feathering, and they have like a whole dirty comedy show that they go into every so often. I think it's like every 15 minutes or 30 minutes or something like that. But the show comes on and it's just pure ridiculousness, and it's definitely something to check out. And also, since this is an episode on Rocket Man, and as many of you know, Elton John is actually a customer of my family's record store, Wax Trax Records, I should mention that Elton John, if you listen to this episode, next time you're in Vegas, you should go check out the Golden Tiki, because I know Brandon Powers has been trying to get a hold of you somehow to get you to come do a guest DJ spot. So go down to the Golden Tiki, Elton. Brandon would be so happy. Let's get into the conversation on Rocket Man. All right, so joining us for the first time on the show is Jason Baroni. Jason, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to have you on the show. I know you're a huge Elton John fan. We met online in a Ryan Adams fan group, and then we became Facebook friends. You've been a member of the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group for a while, and so thank you. I'm glad to have you on the show. Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself before we get into talking about Rocket Man?
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of Elton. And I think it might help this review. I don't know. And I come from Brazil, so you may think it's strange a bit when I pronounce the first name of all the people I'm going to talk about. That's what we do. And I think that's it. I'm a huge fan of this show, and I am very excited to be a part of it.
Hey, that's awesome. I'm really glad to get, like, you know, different voices on this show, and you know, it's just awesome to have you, and just, you know, getting all different kinds of people on the show. It's just great. So yeah, I mean, Rocket Man, you've already seen this a few times, right?
Yeah, three times already.
Three times. Wow. Yeah, I would love to see it again sometime soon. We went and saw it the other night, me and my parents, which of course we posted that little mini episode, which people seem to really have enjoyed. Yeah. And yeah, no, I was very, very happy with the movie. I thought it could have went in a pretty bad way after last year's Bohemian Rhapsody, and I'm so happy to be able to say that it did turn out to be pretty damn great. I've got a few puzzle pieces here. I'm sure you got some. Why don't we jump into your first puzzle piece?
Yeah. So my first puzzle piece is Eddie the Eagle, because I think I should first capture what Taron Egerton has done throughout his earlier career, and he's very young and all. So one of the things I love the most about Rocketman is how Taron manages to get just little facial things from Elton. You know, the way he smiles is very similar. The way he talks is very similar. And I think he just does a great job in Eddie the Eagle too. So I think when I first saw that movie, it was after Rocketman, of course. I wanted to know, to learn more about Taron Egerton. And I just thought he's very good at picking the right facial expressions of his characters. So I think it just helps us to explore much more of his talent.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very talented young actor. And, you know, who knew he could sing like this, too? I mean, I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, I mean, to be able to pull off so well a lot of Elton's mannerisms and all that stuff. It's definitely clear that this guy was the right choice. You know, he certainly embodies a little bit of the look, but mostly the performance, mostly in the mannerisms, the characteristics of how Elton is as a person, you know. And then also in the voice as well. I mean, he does a really good job singing these songs. I mean, he obviously doesn't sound exactly like Elton John when he's singing the songs, but he certainly does a great job. Certainly does a great job of singing. And Eddie the Eagle is a great movie and a great you know, example of this kid's, you know, work leading up to this. And you know, I'm actually going to just jump right into my first puzzle piece, because it kind of goes right along with Eddie the Eagle, and that's Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling, I mean, I don't know, I haven't read any behind the scenes yet on this movie, so I don't know if he specifically was like, hey, you're awesome, you should play me in the movie, or something like that. But I mean, obviously Elton John had his little cameo in Kingsman: The Golden Circle, which was hilarious. And, you know, Taron stars in that movie, in the Kingsman series. And so I have a feeling that if the ink hadn't dried yet on any kind of contracts or anything, I think that experience of them working together, because, you know, one thing I didn't realize until the credits were rolling on Rocketman is that Elton John was actually an executive producer on the film.
Yeah,
a lot of times with these biopics, you don't see that, where the star or the, you know, whoever it is that the movie is about was a executive producer on it. So I, you know, have a feeling he must have had some amount of hands-on with finding who would play him and maybe some of the other people involved. And so, yeah, I have a feeling that experience on Kingsman: The Golden Circle probably had something, you know, some kind of an impact on the casting and creation of this movie.
Yeah, at first point, I was so afraid that this movie could be a product for Elton John, you know. It didn't feel like a product, of course, and it went the other way, actually. And I'm very glad that Elton put his finger on the movie, but he knew that he couldn't mix up this story the way he wanted to and all. So I'm very happy with the way the movie turned out to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
So for my next puzzle piece, I have, let's see here, Walk the Line.
Okay. First.
Have you seen this movie?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it is like one of probably the best like music rock star biopics, I think.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix actually sings in this movie too, just like Taron Egerton, and he is always brilliant, of course. And I think the stories here are very similar regarding the way they are told. Mm-hmm. The difference is that Rocketman is a musical, you know, it has this whole magical element to this, and it makes Rocketman a movie apart from Walk the Line. But I love the way both of the movies treat their characters and how they are conducted too.
Absolutely. You know, and that's an interesting puzzle piece, because I completely agree with it. But one thing, as the movie was starting, like the first, I don't know, 20 minutes, I mean, obviously we already were getting into some musical numbers, so we knew sure. It was going to be a little different, but based on the actual story that was unfolding, I was starting to worry a little bit, because I don't know if you listened to my Bohemian Rhapsody episode,
but
you know, I said that it was almost like they looked at every single beat that's ever happened in a music biopic and were just like, well, let's just do it all again, the exact same thing over again. And so I'm like, oh, we got the disapproving father. Oh, we've got the mom who's not very, you know, oh, we've got nobody likes, you know, and it's like, I'm like, are they going to hit every one of these beats? And then they take it and they totally flip it by turning it into a musical. And that, I think, is the thing that really, I mean, I don't want to say saves it, because I think it, even if they hadn't done that, it's still a great story and it's still a great performance at the center of it, which helps to keep things afloat. But I do kind of want to say saves it, because it keeps it from becoming just yet another rock music biopic. And so combining that Walk the Line thing with just really leaning into these musical performances really helped to make this into something special.
Yeah, you have the actors' performances, of course. Again, Joaquin Phoenix does a great job on his own in that movie, as well as Taron does. When we look at both movies, we see similar troubled artists, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's very, we should expect some common dramas between Elton and Johnny Cash, of course. Mm-hmm. But how this both of the stories went on is very important. And I do think the musical and the magical element helped a lot to shape Rocketman from every other musical apart.
And, you know, speaking of Walk the Line, also Reese Witherspoon's June Carter, another amazing performance in that movie. Great performances all around. That movie, I should watch that movie again sometime. It's so good.
Yeah, they have the same problem at times of pacing. You know, I think that Walk the Line felt a little bit slow at times for me, while Rocketman felt very fast at some moments too. So
super, I think, fast.
There are some similarities between both of the movies that have called my attention.
It'll be, actually, now that I think about it, a little hard to go back and watch Walk the Line after Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. I'm just going to be laughing the whole time thinking of Walk Hard. But yeah. I still should.
Though. And there's another element between Taron Egerton and Joaquin Phoenix that I want to point out. That moment, you see Elton trying to smile before he plays what was the song? A Pinball Wizard, of course. He tries to smile, you know, he's very sad and all because he was beaten up by John Reed. And we have the same moment in the Joker's trailer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It was so lucky of Rocketman to show that first, just so people won't complain about Taron Egerton copying Joaquin Phoenix and all. But I thought that was very, very interesting.
That's great. That is actually a really good pull. I hadn't thought of that, but that's so absolutely right. That is funny. That is really funny. I'm going to go with my next puzzle piece. I've skirted around it a little bit so far in this conversation, but sure. I have to bring up Bohemian Rhapsody itself as a puzzle piece. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if we're going to get a huge connected universe of these rock and roll biopics. It seems like Bohemian Rhapsody is the jump off point. And for whether you loved or hated the movie, it shows that people want to see more of these kind of movies, and more of these kind of movies are going to get greenlit. I mean, they're already talking about this director, Dexter Fletcher wants to do a Madonna one. Yeah. I know there's a Bowie movie in the works. I think I heard an Elvis movie's in the works.
There's a Bob Dylan documentary on Netflix,
Dylan,
right?
Yep. Oh yeah, yep. So I mean, this is going to keep happening. But as soon as Bohemian Rhapsody, I think, started getting the positive buzz, because I mean, let's be real, outside of like film Twitter and like movie podcasters and reviewers, most people loved Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. And as soon as that positive buzz started, I think these movies just started getting greenlit. And Rocketman, I think, was just the first one out of the bunch. And of course, it is the same director. I mean, it started off with a different director, Bohemian Rhapsody, but Dexter Fletcher's who came in to finish it. So yeah. I'm sure his work on that, he probably came in and said, well, I just did that. I want to do something more bombastic, something more exciting, and let's lean into this musical stuff. Let's lean into who this person really was. Let's like actually dig into things and yeah. go for the R rating and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I think that he was certainly influenced by his own work on Bohemian Rhapsody, and probably, I bet he felt like his hands were tied a little bit in trying to finish that movie up the last time around.
Yeah, I read actually he stopped Rocketman's production to continue Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Hmm. So he had already started on like some of like the pre-production
yeah.
or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I heard. Because he wanted to direct this movie, but Fox would choose Bryan Singer, right?
Hmm.
So he went like, okay, I'm doing my thing now with Paramount, and you'll keep your movie. But I'm very glad how both of these movies turned out to be very different from one another, especially because yeah. Dexter Fletcher, he knows how to recreate an epic show, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Live Aid and the yes. Dodgers Stadium performance of Elton. So mm-hmm. I was very, very skeptical about both of these moments to look very similar in both movies. But when you learn more about the Rocketman performance on the movie, you sort of understand how both of them kind of differences, or should I say differentiated from
sure.
both movies, you know. So I'm very glad that in Rocketman we just have a glimpse of what could have been the Dodger Stadium show, while we have a full picture of how was the Live Aid performance.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, that's actually a good question before we move on to the next puzzle piece. Since you do come to this as such a huge Elton John fan, were you already aware, like, had you watched, like YouTube footage and stuff like that of some of these classic concert scenes? Had you seen some of them before and recognized them being recreated in the movie?
Yeah, so Elton is now posting his performances from the Dodger Stadium. And it is very nice. It's actually a very nice footage from the 70s.
Yeah.
And you can see that the recreation was very well done. Very well done from what you can compare on YouTube right mm-hmm. now. So I'm very happy with the overall result.
Yeah, it's funny. My dad, he keeps saying that his favorite part of the movie is the side-by-side shots during the end credits where they show Taron doing the shot and then, you know, the original Elton shot of the same thing,
yeah.
which I think is funny. I'm like, come on, Dad, what's your favorite part of the movie?
It's very cheesy.
Come on, Dad. Well, what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
So for my next puzzle piece, I have actually chosen a documentary. Don't know if you have seen it yet. So it is What Happened, Miss Simone.
Oh, I heard it's great. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so Nina Simone is a very inspirational persona for Elton. And when you watch this documentary, you actually see how troubled of a woman this person was. You know, she had a lot of drama, and she couldn't recover to the artist she once was, you know, because of her life choices and all. So I think there are quite great similarities between her and Elton as a very troubled person, you know. So I think this served as a great canvas for Taryn to shape Elton's character in that in all of those darkest moments the movie has.
Yeah, and it does have quite a few dark moments. I mean, it is not like, obviously there is, you know, so much hope towards the end and everything, and it's beautiful where things go, but it is very dark throughout the movie. It's he led a life where he had quite a lot of hardships throughout it, and you know, with the, I would say that as far as, you know, these kind of movies go, it's certainly one of the darker ones, even though everyone's breaking into song every few minutes. and then it feels up and happy.
Sure. It's a movie that isn't ashamed to show what it does. And it makes me very happy because Elton never had shame of who he was. And so it's a very honest movie in this regard.
Absolutely. Very honest is exactly how I would describe it. You're totally right. And it's just great that they're able to, it's also great that they're able to fit so much in, because it feels like it's like, even though it's only, when did he get clean?
The 90s.
Really the framing. Yeah, it was the 90s. That's really the framing device, but it feels like they even fit in more. Like, it just feels like so much life in this movie, you know, rather than trying to do the whole, like, you know, a year in the life of, or something like that, formative year or something. It just feels like his whole life, like, unfolding. And I think that musical element again comes into play, and in that it helps to make it feel like things are moving so quickly and moving through all of these moments.
Yeah, and when you compare the Elton you see after his teenage, when he's learning from Bernie songs and all, and when you compare it to the Elton you see much later in the movie, it's like you haven't noticed it, the time passing between one and another, but you see a much more mature Elton at the end.
Yeah.
And you can say that we just passed by 30 years, for example.
Yeah.
It's very crazy. And I think
speaks to that great performance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all on Taryn, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing. Maybe I'm just not as familiar with early Elton footage, but as he got older in the movie, I was recognizing him more as, like, yeah, that is Elton John right there.
And you can say that not because of the way that Taryn looks, but regarding his acting, that was very emotional, and I think you can understand some similarities between, like, his problems and problems that you have had in your life. So it is a very, very personal and very deep and very touching performance overall. And you kind of have this idea of Elton maturing and being a douchebag his whole life, and how his pain taught him so much, you know, and you end up with a very different Elton that you started, and that actually explains the hug scene right at the end too.
Sure, yeah, no, for sure. Well, right on. I'm going to go on to my next puzzle piece. It is one that I mentioned in the mini episode, and that is La La Land.
Okay.
Yeah, La La Land is it's kind of a love it or hate it movie. Some people really didn't like it. I liked it.
I loved it.
Yeah, right on. And, you know, the way that it weaves, like, you know, a full story with musical numbers and with, like, you know, obviously that kind of thing happens back in, you know, classic Hollywood, but the way that they do it with modern effects and stuff like that, and I mean, they really just turn it up into this magical, like, just fantastical element. I think that's the only other movie I could think of that does it quite that quite that like choreographed and put together, and like the whole thing is just like so it just unfolds on screen in a way that you really don't see elsewhere. It's just pure magic and music and dancing and singing and just acting their asses off, everybody. You know?
And sometimes they are great. Just singing in front of a very flat background, right?
Mm-hmm.
And very vibrant colors too.
Yeah. It really changes. It just keeps changing, and they keep throwing new ways of just making everything just kind of explode off the screen, you know, whether it's just the people or if it's the entire scene. It's just constantly being filled with just big, huge musical, you know, set design, costume design, artistic design. And I think that it's done really great here, and I thought it was done great in La La Land as well.
Yeah, I can only agree with you, of course. As well as also how the songs of the both of these movies helped tell the story, right? Because both of the soundtracks are not just there just to justify the characters and or the script, for example, but they do help to tell the story. Not something that I actually felt deep with Walk the Line, for example. The songs are just there. And of course, that Joaquin Phoenix sings it, and every performance looks great, of course. But I wouldn't miss the songs on the movie.
Sure, you know? Sure, exactly.
Like I would on La La Land and Rocketman.
Yeah, absolutely. They're really like just kind of sewn into what makes the movie it. You know, what really makes it tick and what makes it come alive is the way that the story is told through the music.
Yeah, actually, you can feel it in Rocketman when you compare both of the soundtracks, the original soundtrack and the soundtrack you'll find in the movie, and the way that they recreated some of the songs to help this story or just to fit this story a little better.
Yeah, it's also interesting how, and I really liked this about how they didn't have any reservations about rearranging the songs within Elton's timeline just for the sake of the scene and of what the, you know, what the story was going to be at that moment. And I think that's a really interesting thing where it's kind of a risky thing, because if you're looking at it like as a strict biopic and you're like, oh, well, he didn't write that song yet at that point, you know, I Need Love was 2000 something. And it was like in the 50s or whatever in the movie, you know, and stuff like that. But it really pays off. It works really well narratively to use the songs that way.
Sure, you have this song and Crocodile Rock at the Troubadour too.
Mm-hmm.
This song would be just written 2 to 3 years later. But they do fit very well, not only the scenes, but they contribute to the whole story.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
So I have two movies for my next puzzle pieces, and they are Jobs, the Steve Jobs movie from 2015, and Amy, another documentary.
Okay.
About Amy Winehouse. It's a very great one, actually. And I just picked both of these movies because both of them are about redemption, and there is a moment in Rocketman that it is also about redemption. Actually, the whole movie is about it. So I think both of them, whether you are talking about Steve Jobs coming back to Apple, and you have a great At Least I Love performance of Ashton Kutcher there, and Amy Winehouse in everything about her storyline, you have redemption as the main element right there, as well as what you can see with Elton in Rocketman too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Those are good, interesting, different angles to that redemption story. those two movies. And I like that you combine the two of them like that. That's really cool. And yeah, I'm trying to remember if I ever actually got around to seeing the Ashton Kutcher one. I honestly can't remember if I ever saw it. I certainly remember it existing though. but the Amy documentary is great though. That is so good.
Have you seen this?
Yeah. So good.
Okay, so you have in every one of them the protagonist's redemption element that I think it's key to this biography of Elton.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, because that is definitely like the central thing for him. And I mean, even just framing it with the with the rehab angle, you know, just kind of drives that home. But then even outside of that, within his just the entire story, it's all there.
Yeah, when you put Emmy beside Elton, you just see that their fault was the excessive love they felt for some of the people around them, right? In case of Elton, you have John Reed, just thinking of Rocket Man, of course. Mm. And Amy had her husband too, that basically can be responsible for everything she've been to. So I think it's a very nice similarity between those artists as the people they are, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And both amazing artists as well, for sure. So I'm gonna go with my next puzzle piece here. And this is one I haven't actually seen in a long time. I saw it back when it first came out. But I did think of it while making my list here, and that is Across the Universe.
Oh yeah.
That's another movie that uses music, of course, the Beatles music in this case, to kind of help the story along, and also combines that music with like just beautiful magic. You know, just really a feeling of just total magical, you know, experience. Just and the music really just drives the narrative and just, you know, makes things just so larger than life and so. I don't want to just keep saying the word magic over and over again, but I think people know what I mean.
Yeah,
I
say magic. Sure.
But yeah, it's a really cool movie though. And I haven't seen it in forever. You've seen Across the Universe?
No. It's not biographical, right?
No, it's not.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But they use the songs, though, to help the story along. And like even like a lot of the characters have like Beatles-related names and stuff like that. So it's like they totally like kind of blend a story with Beatles songs. And, you know, in a way, like what they've done here with Rocketman, with blending, using the songs to help tell the story.
I hope it differs from Yesterday, the new movie about Beatles.
Yeah, I think Yesterday is going to be a lot different from this Across the Universe, because Yesterday I think is going to be more of like a jokey kind of thing, like just, you know, played mainly for laughs and everything. Whereas Across the Universe was played for being like just this big romantic epic type of thing, like a fantasy.
And is this a movie? Of course it's a movie. Is this a musical too?
Only in so much as that the music is playing a lot of the time, but okay. It's not a straight up musical though. What do you got for your next one?
So this is my last one actually, and I think you're gonna love it. And it is Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Nice.
it's a guilty pleasure of mine, this one.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help myself during Rocketman scene when Elton becomes a Rocketman. I instantly remembered in my mind when Michael turned into this giant Megazord to protect Annie. Do you remember this?
Oh yeah, one of the best things ever.
Like. So it was. I still don't understand this movie.
Nobody does.
No. And I think it has this important magical element that Rocketman has to. They both share this fantasy stuff, but of course, when you pick Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, you have the fantasy inside Michael's head, while when you choose a Rocket Man and you analyze the movie, you see that that was the fantasy Elton really lived. So
sure,
that's how they both differentiates from one another. But I think that there's this magical element in both of these movies that are very similar. And they are just told differently here, but that was a very, very nice thing to remember while watching Rocketman.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was almost going to just put music videos in general as a puzzle piece at one point when I was making my list.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, really, when you come down to it, though, I mean, is there anything better than Michael Jackson music videos? So I think it's like the perfect version of that. If I had put that as a puzzle piece, I think Moonwalker is the perfect version, because stringing together just all these amazing music video moments into a movie is what that is.
And it's a movie that doesn't need to make sense, you know.
Yes, absolutely, because it's all about that feeling, and it's all about that music, and it's all about just awesome visuals and awesome performances, and really building off that music, which is already amazing, and making something else that's amazing.
About Rocketman, you see that this movie is not concerned to make the perfect storyline for what Elton has lived so far. And it's not mm-hmm. concerned about to be a biography of him mm-hmm. In the big screen. But I'm very happy with this movie, because the magical element that I've been talking about, it kind of gets everyone in the movie, you know, and you do notice when you see like people crying all around you with you in the mm-hmm. same moments in the movie. So I think this just happened, or at least most of this happened, because of the magic translated throughout the songs and the story itself. So I think it's the Absolutely. Same that happens with Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. I mean, if you watch the movie now, thinking of who Michael was as a person.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And, you know, I think my Across the Universe puzzle piece and Michael Jackson Moonwalker both are great lead ups to my final puzzle piece. Which I was originally just going to say Broadway musicals, because, you know, obviously this movie is so inspired by musicals. Yeah. But I felt that was a little too obvious, so I went for a specific, and that is the Beatles' Love.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an incredible show. And it, you know, the way that it tells a story through the Beatles' music and through just these big, awesome performances. And, I think that is really the treatment that Elton John got with this movie. And it's a beautiful thing that he was able to get a treatment like that, because he is so larger than life, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen all of the footage of the craziness of his performances and all that. You kind of got to look at it as the movie has to be even bigger.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go for magic, magic has to be bigger than real life, and real life was already so crazy.
Yeah.
And the Beatles' Love is a just, you know, combining the Beatles' music with the whole Cirque thing, and just mm-hmm. it just this crazy, crazy over-the-top performances. And I think in a lot of ways, it's like a very similar kind of treatment.
Sure, you have also Michael Jackson's Immortal.
Yes, absolutely.
That can fit this the same purpose here. And
I'm going to put that down as well, actually.
Yeah, it's very, very nice to see the art element telling the story of real people and real stories, of course.
Absolutely. And it's just really cool, though, that they went in such a magical direction. And I mean, we've been talking about that the whole time, but as we're here on our last puzzle pieces, I just think it's a great thing. And these last puzzle pieces all kind of encapsulate that a lot, that, you know, using music as a way to make life even more magical, you know?
Yeah, it's the same feeling, like I'm not talking about a musical itself, but when you listen to music and you kind of picture moments of your life or moments you are currently living, for example, with your own soundtrack. So that's how everything feels, you know? You have characters, you have this background song that sometimes you sing. And I think this was the true innovation that Rocketman brings to the table, you know?
Yeah.
That like Aladdin, for example, couldn't help.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to do the finished puzzle now, and then we'll get to any final thoughts we have on Rocketman.
Okay.
But the finished puzzle for Rocketman includes Eddie the Eagle, Kingsman the Golden Circle, Walk the Line, Bohemian Rhapsody, What Happened, Miss Simone, La La Land, Jobs, Amy, Across the Universe, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, The Beatles' Love Show, and Michael Jackson's Immortal Show. So that is a great finished puzzle list. Some great movies there, great shows in there. Obviously, we both love this movie. I got to say, when I first got out of the theater, I liked it a lot. But it's actually grown on me more over the last few days.
Since I
first saw it. I just, you know, like I was just saying, I just think it's so cool that they would take someone so larger than life to begin with and make it even larger. I think that's really cool.
And the cast, the full cast is just amazing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jamie Bell's performance, for example, is just stunning. Like, you can't look at him and don't want to be his friend, for example.
Yeah.
And you also have Richard Madden that is just brilliant here. And we can name everyone.
Absolutely. A lot of great performances, you know, and a lot of just... a lot of really great choreography, a lot of great, you know, set design, art design, all that. I mean, really, really well put together movie.
What do you think of the songs? What are your favorite performances?
I really liked, I've always found I Need Love to be one of my favorite songs of his. So I thought that was cool. I thought it was cool. It kind of was reminiscent of the music video.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool that they carried that over. Also, what other ones were particularly?
And they changed. They changed the lyrics to make the father guilty.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was genius.
Were there as a big fan? Was there any songs left out that you wish were in it?
Oh yeah, Someone Saved My Life Tonight, for example.
I think that's what my mom said.
Yeah.
It was the same song that she wanted.
On this one. It's the same one because it's a very painful song. Like, to be in the movie at the worst moments that Elton have been through and all. So this is one of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe they'd have thought it would be too much.
Yeah, sure.
It would bring him down too much. That's funny. So do you have any other final thoughts?
About this movie, yeah. We do have the same score for this movie on Letterboxd. I think it's 4 out of 5 stars, right?
Yeah.
Because I think, for example, the first thing that really bothered me is the ending, you know? I think the ending could be better. Like, they could have portrayed Elton a little bit older, for example.
Like, take it further into the life?
Yeah. With David Furnish, his husband, and the kids. But I also think that they were so stuck in the similarities between the Taron and the younger Elton that they missed the opportunity to make him look a little bit fatter, for example. You know, he was just
thin. I agree. I completely agree. Yeah.
But he was a thin Elton. He is Elton at moments in this movie, and you can easily like during Pinball Wizard, like I said, for example, you just see Elton playing there in the performance, like flipping the stage and all. So it was a kind of a missed opportunity for me, and it could have been better. But overall, this I think it's a great movie. It's a great, very innovative movie. Do you think it may get any nomination for the Oscars?
It's going to be interesting to see. I think it probably will, but I also think that I think Bohemian Rhapsody might have killed its chance because of winning anything because of how well it did last year. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if they're going to award biopics 2 years in a row, you know?
No.
But I think for possibly for some nominations, it's a definite possibility. And, you know, another thing kind of against it, I don't understand why they opened it against Godzilla. I mean, and Godzilla's not even doing that good. They should have picked two separate weekends.
And you weird. Have the Avengers, and it was a very, very strange thing, you know? It could have been pushed to later this year, like in September, for example. We have nothing really strong coming up in September.
I hope it has legs, though. I think it's got like a really great cinema score, and you know, it's the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is really high. I think it hopefully will have legs. I mean, we're coming up as we record this on the second weekend in release. Hopefully, it doesn't have too big of a drop off, and it continues to build momentum. And if it does, I mean, anything's possible. If it continues, I mean, we know Godzilla is going to fall off like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Nobody really liked that. I can't wait to record our episode. I think that this will certainly be the long-term winner of the weekend. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And have you seen this in IMAX?
We saw it in Dolby, which I actually like better than IMAX because the music is so good in Dolby. It just sounds so great. So
awesome.
it was really cool. If I see it again, I will try to see it in IMAX. So just to see if there's a big difference or not.
Okay.
So I was going to ask you one other question before I get to recommendations, but since this is a music biopic movie, and since I know you are a big music fan, what's like a dream music biopic now that that's going to be the thing every year we're going to be getting music biopics for the rest of our natural lives?
Sure.
What's a big one for you?
A big one for me would be Ryan Adams, of course. He's building his story now.
Yeah. Hopefully the story ends in like the early 2010s.
For sure. And second one would be Noel Gallagher's.
Oh, that would be cool. I could see that. That would be a really great movie. I think it would be awesome.
There's something upcoming about his brother, right?
I think so. That is a story that's just so ready for a movie. And I just think it would be great. I think it would be so good. I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on both of those picks. Great picks.
Oh, yeah. you could have a cameo of Elton in Ryan Adams' film, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You could. Absolutely. It all comes back around.
Sure.
Well, Jason, this has been great. Do you have any movie you've watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, man. Recently I watched Manchester by the Sea. You know that it's a very deep movie that makes you worse when compared to when you start to watch it. I love Casey Affleck, man. I can help myself with this actor because he just delivers too much, you know. And it's a movie that I really, really, really love.
Oh yeah, me too. One of the best performances of this decade, I would say. Just absolutely fantastic all around. And I was calling Rocket Man dark earlier, but no, doesn't stand
up. Yeah, it's like a dark with glitter. Right?
Yes, dark with glitter. Absolutely. Well, where could people, you got anything you want to plug or anything like that? People find you online?
I'm on Twitter at Jason Baroni. And I'm constantly commenting on the group too.
Beautiful. Yeah. People come in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group and come chat with me and Jason and all the other people in there.
I hope it can grow very fast in the upcoming months, because it's a group that I like to be in, and I really appreciate what you do.
Hey, thanks so much, man, and thanks so much for being here.
Hi, this is Wax Trax Records here on 2909 South Decatur. We buy all your old 45s, your old albums, any type of music memorabilia. Also, we sell music memorabilia, albums, CDs, and a lot. Come on down to Wax Trax, 2909 South Decatur, or give me a call at 702-362-4300. Thank you very much.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Rocket Man. I hope you went and saw Rocket Man, because it is a great movie. I'm so happy to be able to say that. And, you know, this is actually kind of crazy, but, you know, Elton being a customer of our store and friend of the family, my dad told me to send that mini episode we did over to him to see if he would give it a listen. And he wrote me back. Dear David, this is hilarious. Your parents crack me up. XXX. How cool is that? That's just crazy. And who knows? Maybe I'll listen to this episode. That would be cool. Maybe we can get him on the show one of these days. I don't know. We'll see. But I am glad that he enjoyed what he heard. So that does it for today. I want to remind you all to make sure to subscribe to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, not iTunes, because that doesn't exist anymore, right? That's like the big news of the week as far as podcasting and music and everything is concerned. So Apple Podcasts, also on Spotify, on TuneIn Radio, Pocket Casts, Radio Public. I mean, there's dozens of podcast apps, and I'm pretty sure we're on all of them. If there's a podcast app you listen to podcasts on and we're not there, let me know and we will try to get there. Also, you can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, and go over to our website, piecingpod.com, and get signed up for the mailing list. We do written reviews as well over there. A lot of people don't know about that yet, but any movie I see in the theater and we don't get to do an episode on, I try to write a review on. So there is more content on the website, so make sure to go check that out. So that does it for today, and I think it's time to leave you guys with a piece of music. And, you know, Elton John's music is, you know, some of his best music. The stuff that I like the most of his music is, like, the big dramatic stuff. So I'm just clicking through my hard drive here, looking at my tracks and trying to find one of my most dramatic pieces of music. And I think I'm going to go with the track Never off my album An Unseen Sky, which is an awesome music video for directed by the great Chris Johnson. That's on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/musicbydavidrosen. You can check out the video for Never there. It's a really great video. But I do think this is one of my more dramatic tracks. A lot of my tracks are kind of dramatic, to be honest. But yeah, let's leave you with Never, and we'll be back soon with a whole lot more Piecing It Together.
and all points west.